and the Word was God. In him was life, and the life was the light of men.
The dominion mandate is inside. That's why the Bible says, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. You can't God's image, discover who you are, and shake off that ignorance.
I confer the blessing on your life today. I confer your mighty hand of blessing upon their lives. Welcome to Expand Your World with Pastor David Willie.
At the back there, can they disappear from that place and go to their seat? Whatever you're doing there, it stops. Actually, we don't have much time left. I have about 30 minutes, but there's something I need to explain to you. It's connected to what Pastor Dubois is sharing. And can I get three people from the front here? They come with their seats. Come and sit here. Okay, I want you to understand this whole thing you've been hearing about purpose, how it works. Sit down, you know, together, and sit like you're discussing. Can I get another group, about 10 people, to come, young people, and stand in their front? You know, sometimes the fastest way to preach is with pictures. All of you are allowed, don't worry, just the ones that have appeared, but no lady. Go back to your seat. Just the men. Yeah, okay. The only problem is that you're blocking the people, so half of you will come to this side, the other half the other side. Don't block them, you just stand. Stand on that way. This is the Trinity. This is what is going on in heaven. I want you to understand what is called purpose and how it works. Daniel chapter 7, I need to show you something fast. Daniel chapter 7 verse 10. Meetings hold in heaven, they are called heavenly council. Council. A very, this is, start from 9 so that they will get the whole thing well. I beheld till thrones, plural. So it's not only God that sits. Thrones, He sits on the principal throne like you see the president in the National Executive Council, but he sits with ministers. Okay, thrones were cast down, and the Ancient of Days did sit. Everyone, how many of you know who the Ancient of Days is? He has, I don't know what to call it, gray. He's not gray, he's white. His hair is white. That's what the Bible reveals. He's white, but he's still young. He still retains his age. He's been there before the world was created, yet he retains the same age. He doesn't age. The only thing he did for us to know that he's not your mate in age is to have that white hair that is like wool. Okay, the Ancient of Days, this, that's the Almighty God, whose garment was white as snow. His hair, the hair of his head, is like pure wool. His throne was like a fiery flame. The Bible said that God dwells in unapproachable light. The kind of fire that surrounds his throne is mind-boggling. Anyway, and his wheels are as burning fire, because this throne flies. When God needs to move, like when he comes to the earth, doesn't get up and trek into space. He sits down, a group of four living creatures, special type of angels called cherubs, carry him and take off, and they travel faster than the speed of thought. Yes, that's how he moves. The day he came on Mount Sinai, he came down seated. Wasn't standing. That throne moves. It's a flying saucer. I don't know. Yakada, read Ezekiel chapter 1. You will see what I'm telling you about. Anyway, okay. A fiery stream issued before him, because there's this streams of fire, not water. And they came forth from before him. Then thousand of thousands ministered unto him. So God sits on the throne. That's how the court in heaven sits. But he has 100 million angels on this side, whose job is to attend to him. When you hear thousand, you think it's 1 million, because 1,000 times 1,000 is 1 million. Well, check the second thousand, it's plural. So it's 1,000 times 1,000 times 1,000. Is that not 1 billion? What is that? 1,000 times 1,000 is 1 million. Times another 1,000 is what? 1 billion. 1 billion is standing on this side who attend to him. This is the, I'm talking about the presidency in heaven. Of course, we don't run presidential kingdom. It's not a democracy. It's not, there's no, you know, but it's a kingdom. Then, on the other side, we have 10,000 times 10,000. This one is 100 million. That stand on this side, and what is their job? They stood before him. So one group minister for him, the other group stand before him. The ones that stand before him attend to him. Anything he wants, they get it done. That's what the angels do. The ones that actually do the ministering is when he now makes a pronouncement, when he makes a statement, when he makes a decree, when he said, go help that girl, when he said, go open that blind eye, their job is to take off to go and enforce it. Because I just have a few minutes left, but all kinds of things are going to happen this month. Oh, you heard that declaration this month. And what he's trying to explain to you is how these things happen. Okay, for example, how many angels does the Almighty God have at his disposal who do his biddings? One time we were given a number. I think that's the highest number ever given. And that is the number of angels that attended the coronation of Jesus. Because when Jesus finished dying for us, one of the members of the Trinity, when he returned back to heaven, when he came back and returned, no, you look to the throne. Why are you behaving like, okay, let's replace him. Go to this side. Let's get somebody who has... this is where this power center is. You look to the throne. When he returned back, he has just been on the earth for 30-something years. He has died. He has risen from the dead. When he returned back, it's time to give him ultimate authority. And there was a coronation service. And we don't have the time to read the whole story. the number of angels that attended that particular service, see the number, and I beheld, I heard the voice of many angels round about the throne and the beast. These are the four living creatures I was talking about. They called cherubims, the elders, the other thrones behind that throne of God. Called 24 men sit on it. They call it 24 elders. And the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000. This is 100 million. Just like I showed you in Daniel. Then times 1,000. That's 100 trillion already. Times thousands of thousands. So when I read this and I checked Daniel, and I realized that Daniel was trying to combine all those numbers. They didn't know how to pronounce it. Because as at their time, you don't talk about trillions, you don't talk about, I don't even think as at their time that billions was known. They count up to thousands, so they start doing multiples of thousands. There was no way to count. So if you do the multiplication, like the first 10,000 times 10,000, that's already 100 million. Times another 1,000, that's 100 billion. Times another 1,000, that's 100 trillion. But the problem is, even me, I don't know what the number is, because the last 2,000s are in plural. So I just use singular, 100 trillion angels. Because if you use plural for those ones, I don't know what the number is called. I'm sure you probably know, but whatever it is, I don't know what it is. But if I take 100 trillion, how many people are inside this hall now? Multiply everybody here. If the auditorium takes 10,000, so if the auditorium is actually filled, and we say there are actually another 10 people connected to you, because we don't know what you're praying about. It might have to do with your father, your mother, your child, your sister, your whatever, your worker, your staff. That 10 other people are connected to you. That's nonsense. That's 100,000. If we say 100 people are connected to every one of you, that's just 1 million. So this morning, if we get 1 million angels busy now, we're talking about 100 trillion. What have you removed? What have you removed? Nothing. Okay. Everybody in Nigeria needs prayer to be answered for them this Sunday morning. Everybody's praying, talking to the same God. I want you to understand how God is able to deal with the whole world and he doesn't feel any stress. Everyone in Nigeria, 180 million. Let's dash us 20 more million, 200 million. In 200 million angels. We're talking about 100 trillion. I thought by now we should have at least exhausted 1 trillion so that God will be dealing with 99 trillion. Is he talking 200 million? Okay, everybody on earth. Everyone on earth needs a miracle this morning. One angel to every human being on earth. 7 billion people. So 7 billion angels goes on assignment today and maybe the whole 30 days till this month end. 7 billion, 100 trillion. Let's even make the 7 billion up to 10 billion. You have not scratched. I thought by now we should have at least scratched 1 trillion. We have not even scratched 100 billion. That's how God. So don't think when God is dealing with your issue, he is so busy that he has to sweat small and then ask some angel, please find me. I have been busy. I need to rest. The Bible says, he that watcheth over you neither slumbers nor sleeps. $100 trillion. I have a question from heaven. What do you want God to do for you this morning? What do you want? You where your long leg cannot reach, they enter there. They can make a fire disappear in the office. If I tell you testimony, things we have seen. If I tell you things we have seen, know, a young man went through the rain to go for a job in this Lagos. He had third class. But before he went on Monday, because I told him, make sure tomorrow morning hit the road. Get your distance and the number of companies you are getting job. He said, Pastor, you know for how many years I've been looking for a job. I said, who is talking about what you have done for yourself? We're talking about now that God has stepped in your case. He went through rain. Rain beat him that day to get his. And when he got there, they wouldn't allow him because he said he wanted to see the MD. They wouldn't allow him. So he sat at the reception. He said, I have something to offer this company and I need to tell him. Because we've taught them. Don't just go for interview. Study the organization. Find what they need. Study their challenges. Package solution to that organization. And be willing to start without pay. Tell them to give you 3 months of trial. Don't go to people who are offering nothing. Most people walk around looking for who will give them something. No, walk around looking for somebody's problem you will solve. That's how you can have anything you want in life if you can help just enough people get what they want. The key to your own need is meeting other people's need. It's the value that you are giving to people that actually translates to money in your hand. Okay, so I've shown you the people that execute God's counsel. Please show them that scripture, Psalm 103. Blessing his angels, verse 20 to 21, the ending. Blessing his angels, ye that hearken to his counsel. Am I quoting the chapter right? Bless the Lord, ye his angels that excel in strength. Now, you know, these are supernatural beings. They are not. Not like your super. I don't want to use human, but if we want to use super, extra superhuman creatures that excel in strength, that do his commandments, hearkening to the voice of his word. So this is, can you imagine 100 trillion around just waiting for him to say something? And they are grouped and they are organized. There are some assignments that require a team. Like sometimes when they have to fight demonic forces. And they notice that on the other camp, there is a group, there is a network. They also take a team to go there and mess them up. Every power that has ganged up against you, they are going to be scattered this very morning. In the name of Jesus. Do you know one angel can take care of everybody in this hall? Because they are not like human beings. One angel went to the camp of the Syrians and killed 180-something people in one night. That's how powerful they are. 180-something they killed in one night. Okay, let me show you something before we conclude. I want to show you something about purpose. A council sits in heaven. You can take back your seat. And this council, no, stand. Just this Trinity. They sit in heaven. Sometimes it's three of them, the Trinity. And they're discussing a plan that God has in his mind. God said, this is something I want to do. Show that scripture where there was a meeting in heaven and the angels were giving God suggestion. Because there are two kinds of heavenly council that sits. There's one where it's purely the Trinity. And usually what they discuss are things they don't want the angels to know yet. An example is the day Jesus is coming, the angels don't have that date yet. God doesn't want to reveal that secret. Satan is aware that the time is drawing near, but he doesn't know the time. So he puts him. The angels are aware. They are waiting for the instruction to sound the trumpet. When Jesus was coming on the earth here as a human being, they did not allow him to have that information about the day he will return. Because he will reveal it to his disciples. And then if he says, okay, my return is the year 2025, October 28th. You know what some people will do? They will backslide, do all the evil they want to do. Since 2025, they will continue January of 2025, they will come to church and get born again, join choir, join pastors, join everything, become serious. But the stupidity of revealing such a thing is that human beings will think they are being wise. Satan will not kill them before the time they will go to give their life to Christ. Because the devil too will have the information. And because he has the information, he will use it against human beings. So the Bible said there are certain things which the princes of this world did not know. For if they had known, they would not have crucified the Lord. For example, the plan of redemption was hidden from the princes of darkness. There are things in divine counsel that are kept secret. They have a covenant among them to keep certain things, reveal it as time, at the proper time, when it's important, when it's going to help the targets, the recipients, which are human beings. I said show where the council was holding in heaven. For example, let's start from verse. This is Micah. Micah is a human being, a prophet, but he is allowed to attend heavenly council. I have been given that privilege a number of times, so I know what I'm telling you. I have experience of it. Actually, you are not really a prophet until you have access to heavenly council. It's like inviting you to the Federal Executive Council meeting. You watch government do deliberation and now arrive at decision. And you come out, you are telling people they are going to start the construction of Third Mainland Bridge end of March on exact day 30th. The reason you can talk with such authority is that you were in the meeting where the decision was taken. It has not been announced yet. But because you were there, you have access to private government secrets, to classified information. So when a prophet makes a declaration, people who are at the nature are wondering, what is he talking about? For example, I had a word from the Lord that a recession in Nigeria is over. So I said, Lord, what's the scope? For the whole country, for everybody, or what? He said, tell my people to and put their gear into motion, the exploit gear. Don't ever say in your mouth. Don't ever say again. It can be the same for the man out there in the street. It can be the same for the unbeliever. But for you, a new program is rolling in motion. Of course, we're informed ahead of time. That's why it didn't affect me. And you can ask our pastors, I warned them. And I told them what to do with their money, where to put it. Don't have any sign of recession, anything on my hand, on my life, anywhere. In other words, God has even overruled the whole recession program. But the timing for full unveiling is two-dimensional. There is first access being given to God's children to press into, because this thing was created for certain people's advantage, and one of them is the righteous. So right now, their own timetable has started. The decree has been passed. Recession has been lifted from the righteous, while the rest of the people are still experiencing signs of famine. Their own will finally come too. But God is lifting it over the whole country. Both the righteous and unrighteous. You better believe me. You know how the Bible says he makes his rain fall on the good and on the bad. Am I correct? He makes the sun fall on, rise on the good and the bad. You know, if God were like you, sunlight will not rise in the house of witches this week. And rain will not drop in their house. But guess what happened? It's called God's common grace. There are seven types of grace. There is one he gives to everybody. Universal grace, common grace. It shows the favor both to the good and the bad. That's why oxygen, it doesn't get to the house of the witch and stop. There are other areas where God now differentiates. Specific grace he will give to one man, he won't give it to another person. You see, some people carry certain grace that other people don't have. And the only way they can get it is either to tap into it by blessing the man that has it or establish a relationship with them. If not, all of us should be able to sing like Isaac. But that grace is on him. It's not on everybody. If not, all of us should be able to carry a certain level of anointing. But that grace is on certain people and it's not on other people. But there are general grace, common grace that God gives. For example, salvation is a common grace. He made it available to everybody. But not everybody is collecting it. He does not want anybody to perish. Healing is available to everybody. As a matter of fact, let me tell you, if you are not born again, maybe you are not even serving God, or you came in here this morning, you came here with sickness. In a few minutes, I'm going to pray. You can even be healed before the man that has been attending this church for 10 years. You know why? Jesus paid for it and made it available for all. God is not healing you because you attend church. He's healing you because he loves you. Okay, so this is what happened. God has something on his mind he wants to do. He brings it up for discussion. That's why times you hear us when God is talking. Let us make man in our image. That's a heavenly council. A discussion is going on about a new being that is about to be created on the earth. And the discussion is, this man will not be like animals. We're not making a lion. We're not making a chimpanzee. We want him to be like us. Let's make him after our image. Let him be in our likeness. And then they discuss certain things. And then they discuss what that man is going to do. Once they decide what he's going to do, that thing they have decided is what you call purpose. You say, my purpose. I don't know my purpose. Your purpose is the reason you exist. Your purpose is the reason the Creator made you. Your purpose is the assignment he created you to execute. Your purpose is the reason he brought you to the earth. The problem is, it's a decision made in heaven before you were born. Okay, let me show you something about purpose. So you will even see when it's decided. It's not decided when you are in the womb. It decided before your parents met. 1 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 1 verse 9. Let me show you that one. I think you will get the job fast. Oh my God, my time is up. Yeah. Let's see if I can do that fast. 2 Timothy 1, 9. Who had saved us? This is God Almighty. Who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works. He's not looking at our own doing, but according to his own purpose and grace, two things. Which was given to us in Christ. When? When was purpose decided? Before the world began. When? So do you know that Adam has been proposed by God before the creation of the earth? You know it now in your home. When you now want to have babies, you now go to prepare baby cots. You buy clothes. You buy those baby... what do you call it? The small beds where the baby will lie. You start preparing because you've already made the decision that you're going to have a baby. Probably the woman is even pregnant already. Then you start preparing where the baby... And you buy some toys. There are some parents that buy after the baby is born. There are those of us who prepare for it ahead of time. That's what happened. Having decided that man was to be created, he now decided to create the environment where he would live. So he came and said, let there be light. Because this creature will have eyes. They need to be able to see. So they need light in their environment. Let the ground appear out of water. Because if you drop him there, he will drown if everywhere is covered with water. The earth was covered with water. Okay, now he said, we need vegetation because this guy has to be eaten. Let the ground bring forth all kinds of fruits and vegetation. Okay, we need animals.
okay, we need to create the ozone layer so it won't be too hot for them. We need to put oxygen in the air. And then he prepared the environment where we're going to live. And you can see we are now 7.2 billion and we have not been able to exhaust the resources of the earth, because from day one, he put more resources than we can ever consume and put the principle of recycling in nature, so that when we consume oxygen and bring out of our exhaust, what you call your nostrils, carbon dioxide, he made the plants to swallow the carbon dioxide, absorb it, and supply us back fresh oxygen, so that oxygen will not finish on the earth. Because if not, I know you are praying for job, you are praying for healing, there are bigger prayers if God did not use his common grace to solve the problem. You know what the whole country will be praying for now? Rain, if God had not solved the problem. You know what would be our number one prayer this year? Oxygen. The most important things, he made them free. Look at water. Who is selling water? It's human beings, not God. Who are the people selling land? Landlords. It's human beings. God gave it to you free. If you leave government now, Lagos State one day will put second billion on oxygen. Let me give you an example. Where I live, I have 24-hour electricity and I'm inside Nigeria. And I've been enjoying that for a long time. You know why? Instead of connecting to this one that fails all the time, that is man-made, I'm getting all my energy and I use AC. They drive my refrigerators, drive my deep freezers from the sky. Everyone says solar. 24 hours. There's no taking of light, not for 1 second in my house. Not for a second. And they brought in this inverter compliant ACs, and they work better than even the original one. I was even shocked. Even though we limited where we use the ACs, but I used 3 of them, 2 horsepowers in that house. Electricity is free. Anytime you look up, that's electricity during the day. Free electricity. Even the wind that is blowing is electricity. We are talking about bringing the wind turbines and all of where we are trying to develop the real camping ground. I won't talk to you about it until we finish some legal issues, because we have learned from experience. One time we talked before papers were tidied up. Next thing, it was even somebody that attended the service that brought his own organization and they went and collected it. So let's leave that. We are developing a real campground that can take up to 500,000 people. Yes. Yes. So everything in that camp is going to be 24-hour light. There are no NEPA. NEPA is when they are ready, they can function. We will provide them channel, but we are not depending on them. 24-hour, the whole camp, with hotels, with facilities, with everything, 24-hour light. We are not depending on anybody anywhere. Natural gas, free. I was with Pastor Glory. He's from Warren, where he sits. And I saw 2 gas flaring, whatever, in the sky. And I asked him, how long have these gases been burning? We are wasting fuel, wasting electricity, wasting the whole country. You're not supposed to be buying gas. What is your gas? These small gas tanks that you are buying, you connect at the back of your kitchen. Go abroad now and see how these things are. You're not supposed to be buying gas like that. Gas is supposed to come into your house like electricity. And we have excesses, but yet, what is going on? I saw fire in 21st century. This kind of waste, is it going on? I asked you, how many years has this been going on?
For over 100 years.
100 years. I don't know whether it's correct or not. I don't know, because I'm trying to calculate in my head now. When did we discover oil? When, whatever. But obviously, no matter what it is, it's not less than 50 years. Maybe even. And he might be correct. I don't know. And it's not like it will burn for 7 hours and rest. It's burning continuously. And this is the gas that we are supposed to be using to power your houses, power the generator, power or even our cars now. Natural, you call them natural resources because somebody thought ahead of time. Look at what he gave us. He didn't just give us purpose, reason for existence, or assignment. He supplied grace. Everyone say grace. A lot of resources, abilities, talents, connections, provisions, everything that that purpose will need to be fulfilled was made available before the world began. That's what happens in heaven. There is another type of counsel that God holds where he asks these angels to contribute. Let me read that one for you, please. And the Lord said, yes, you were there before. Go back. You know, where the angels make contribution. This particular one, I'm sorry, is not a good one. They are trying to kill somebody on earth. And they called for a council meeting in heaven. There is a wicked king on earth by the name of Ahab. His wife was Jezebel. God wanted him eliminated. And why is it that killing him required meeting? God doesn't need to call a meeting to kill a human being. The issue is that the man has put all the prophets of God on payroll. So anytime God plans something, he's going to die by accident. The prophets who attend heaven's council will tell him. He will sit at home. He won't make that trip. Anytime they say, okay, he will die by in a battle, in war, they will tell him. Because the Bible says God cannot do anything on earth until he reveals his secrets to his servants, the prophet. It's a law. He can't do it without talking to somebody. I don't think you heard what I said. God cannot do anything here on earth until he has shared it with somebody. Once the time for execution comes, somebody must be informed. If he does not, he will violate the rule he made governing this universe. Part of the reason is that a human being must be involved in the execution. God does not operate on earth without using people. The same thing with demons. Spirit beings without bodies are not allowed to function here. The only way they can function is to get human partnership. You know, the law of local content. A white man can't just come from Nigeria and just start mining our solid mineral. He has to get a Nigerian and have signed the MOU of local content. And then that's how demons work. That's how God Almighty works. That's why even your salvation was not possible until there was a man. God became Emmanuel. God was born through a human being. He has to get a Mary, get the husband, get a number of people in agreement with him, and then he came through them before he could execute the program of salvation. Is somebody hearing what I'm saying? So, look at what was happening. And I heard the word of the Lord. I saw the Lord sitting on his throne and all the hosts of heaven standing by him on the right hand, on the left. These are the angels again. And then look at the discussion today. The Lord said, who shall persuade Ahab, as the husband of Jezebel, that he may go up and fall at Ramoth Gilead? He was going to fight a foreign nation and he will die there. And one said on this manner, another said on that manner. You see the suggestion being given by angels. This is council meeting. They have not made a decision. But finally, one angel came up and said, a spirit came and stood before the Lord and said, I will persuade him to go. Verse 22. And the Lord said to him, how will you do that? And he said, I will go forth and I will be a lying spirit in the mouth of all his prophets. I will deceive the prophets so that they will deceive him. If you read the whole chapter, you will see what happened there. When we study the laws of ministry and the sins of ministers, there is a law here that was being violated by this. When a king, a political leader is evil, a man of God must not be too exposed to him, too aligned to him. If you do, and he keeps doing evil, God, you can tamper with the anointing that you carry. You can defy the sanctity of that anointing, and that can lead you to error.
That's when you hear men of God prophesying lies. But these men are men of God. If you read the chapter down, but you will see Micah, the one that was right, giving this account, Micah remained godly. Each time Ahab came to him to make inquiry, he would tell him the truth. And because of that, the king didn't like him. So, when these other prophets were being deceived, Micah was allowed to be in the meeting where the decision was made that all the prophets would be deceived. So he heard what the real situation is. The king is going to die. So you can imagine Ahab finally called them and he was in alliance with Jehoshaphat, who is a good king. He wanted to go to that battle and Jehoshaphat said, no, let's inquire of the Lord. So they brought all the prophets and they were all saying, go, you will win the battle, you will come back safely. Jehoshaphat, being a godly man, knew that there was something wrong here. He couldn't place his finger on it. He said, is there no other prophet in the land that we can inquire? Ahab said, there is one, but that one doesn't like me. Every time he sees me, he'll just be prophesying negative things. Jehoshaphat said, don't blame him. A prophet is only a messenger. He's supposed to say what? If you don't blame him, it means that you are not. Don't you want to know the truth? I don't want you to tell me what I want to hear. I want you to tell me the truth. Come to a doctor, be diagnosed. Don't lie to me. Tell me the truth so I know what I'm doing. Some people like to be told lies. So, the chief of this PFN, the PFN chairman in this particular time, his name is Zedekiah. He took two horns of a bull, put on his head, and ran and said, my lord the king, this is how you are going to destroy all your enemies. And Micah got up and said, listen, I was in the heavenly council and I heard what they discussed there. He said, God has put a lying spirit in the mouth of these your prophets. If you go to that battle, you are going to come back, you are going to be dead. And the PFN chairman of that time, Zedekiah, gave Micah a dirty slap. He said, when did the Spirit of God leave me to now start speaking through you? This thing has nothing to do with seniority. It has to do with consecration. There are compromises that if a minister start making, you know, the brown envelope thing, that's what Ahab did to all these prophets. Every time they will come, he will. After a while, they started compromising their ministries. Zedekiah, son of Chenaiah, went near and smote Micah on the cheek. He slapped him. When the Spirit of the Lord from me now to be speaking by you. Then when the young man told him, watch, you're going to hide inside your room where you are covering your shame. He said, behold, thou shalt see in that day when you will go into your inner chamber to hide. That's exactly what happened. And it's not because he's a better person. It's because he sat in that council and heard it. That's how a council sat and decisions were made about you before you were born. It was even that decision that decided the family you were born into. Were you consulted before your father and mother were decided? There are some decisions you are not allowed to make in preach. Were you consulted before you were made a black man? You know you could have been born in America. Your spirit doesn't have color, but the body you have entered into was because this black body is because of the two people that gave birth to you. The person that left heaven is inside. He's not a black man. He's not a white man. It's a spirit being. But to decide what it will look like in the physical, they have to use your parents to decide that part. You You know, one of our pastors lost a baby, Pastor Nobbs. And he ran, I told him in this ministry, nobody under this mandate loses. We don't have that in this place. We have certain blessings flowing here. One of them is the issue of fruit of the womb. So I rebuked that, because in the family where he came from, ancestors, things were happening. And, that baby had mental problem. What is it called? These babies that have epilepsy. That's what he gave birth to, the only son he had. So finally the boy died. Small boy. So I told him, let him go. But now, I'm going to bless you, and you're going to have a baby boy. And it's going to happen within 12 months. And the guy is going to carry so much wisdom, so you need to name him Daniel. And he was looking at me. He said, yes, sir. I said, I can even tell you a few more things about him. Because all my kids are shown to me before they enter their womb, their mother's womb. All. Of course, all their names are given to them, both their sex, all my kids. The reason is that human beings existed before they appeared here. Jeremiah chapter 1 verse 10. Our time is up. Can you give me 10 minutes to do a run? No. Jeremiah chapter 1. Okay, let's start from the few verses. Before I put you in your mother's womb, I knew you. Let me show you that part before I talk about what he was going to do. Look at this. Before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. How can you know a person? Because you've been there. Before you came forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee, and I ordained thee a prophet unto the nation. Listen to me. This is purpose. This young boy was known, ordained, and called to be a prophet before the parents even met. Finally, because when God has decided in your destiny, he decided where you were to be born, the country where you are to come. So he had to get parents from that territory. Let me be honest with you. I'm going to show you, tell you something. We concluded childbirth. We have 4 kids, 2 boys, 2 girls. But one night, just like I was shown the other one, I was shown additional baby arriving, and he said, a girl, a beautiful, pretty girl. I talked with my wife. I said, this other package. He said, but we have agreed to stop. So we said, Lord, since you still want him to come for my family, let him come for one of these 4. That means he has to wait till this one's married. If you now want him here fast enough, you think the assignment he has to do on earth requires arrival here earlier than, then look for my brothers and sisters. Get, use one of them to get him here. As for us, I'm not going to put this woman through another of this assignment. You know, this assignment is enough. We have a choice at this level. The other part, they can decide without us to have sex. I have a choice in the matter. That's the gate through which you can enter here. Unless you have to come like Jesus. So finally, a couple of months, 11 months down the line, Pastor Nob fires me a text. He said, my wife decided not to even go to hospital to check the sex and all that, because there was a prophetic word. He said, but she delivered, and I got there, I looked at the boy. I said, wow, this is what Pastor was describing for me. I even gave him the complexion of the boy. So he said, he fires me the text. He said, the boy that was ordered from heaven has arrived. But do you know, I can't do that except you have access to what? Now, God allows that. There is a person who sits in council that lives in our life. You know his name? Holy Spirit. There is no council meeting. He's not present yet. He is the minister of information living in my house.
third person in the Trinity. Yet, because I need to know what my Father is thinking, they allowed him to live in you. That's why he lives in me. That's why he... Everybody lift up your hands. Say, Holy Spirit, open my inner eyes. Open my inner understanding. Open my ears. Open. There's so much going on that I don't know. Things about my life that I don't understand. Open my understanding. Hey. 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 That anointing for revelation. That anointing for intuition. That anointing for insight. Let it rest upon you. Amen, amen, amen. But let me say this. When a decision, okay, we didn't conclude that one, but it's all right. You can check the rest of the story. Ahab believed the liars, and of course went to the battle and died, as was, you know. But take note of this. When a decision has been made, they now ask for the record keepers to write it down in a book. And that book exists in heaven. That's what sets a purpose. You know, once anything has entered God's record, unless there is something that happens that makes the heavenly council to erase it, it must happen on earth, no matter. You don't have enough human beings, you don't have enough forces to stop it. When it comes to individual destiny, the only person that can tamper with it is the individual. He can choose not to walk with God. And that's where it is tough, because life is being called to act a drama. How do I act when I have not read the script? How do I? But then there are secrets, 7 secrets relating to this. I'm only going to mention maybe 1 or 2. One of them is the principle of prayer. Don't just go to God in prayer to ask for what you will eat, what you will drink. There are more serious things. So there are things that are already prepared. You need to ask him for direction to step into them. Another principle, take note what I'm saying. Prayer is not just for getting your needs met. Prayer is part of the purpose of prayer. It's to align yourself to the purpose and plan of God. Ask him to guide you. Ask him to direct your steps. Ask him to guide you according to the plan that he has made for concerning your life. Because within the context of God's plan, most of these areas where we are struggling ends. The purpose of God is already blessed. You don't need to ask him to bless it. This issue about a book being written, I need to show you a scripture on it. And maybe I will stop here. Psalm 139. I read that Jeremiah 23 verse 18, please fast. Who had stood in the council of the Lord? Who has perceived and heard his words? Who has marked his word and heard it? It was Jeremiah was discussing who has stood in the council of the Lord. The way you do it is through prayer. Yes, the spirit of revelation can convey you like he did for that young man into by through visions and dreams where you are allowed. Isaiah the prophet said, I saw the Lord seated on his throne, and his throne was lifted up, and his glory filled his the temple. He was listening to a heavenly council. Then he said, and I heard the Lord said, who shall I send? Who shall go? That was when he volunteered. Here am I, send me. Everyone lift up your hands and say, here am I, send me. Say, whatever it is that you are planning in heaven that has to do with my life, that affects me, that involves me, I surrender my life. I'm making myself available. Use me. Use me, Lord. Put your hands on my life and work out the counsel of your goodwill in my life. Oh. Psalm 139 verse 16. I want to bring it to a close. Your eyes, this is once a decision is made, the next thing is they write it in a book. Your eyes did see my substance, yet being imperfect. You know why babies are forming in the womb? Initially, they even have tails like tadpole. Why my body is still forming, still imperfect and is shaping? In thy book, all my members were written. If you are here and you are sick, let me tell you something. It's not only that you are created, all your parts and their sizes, the size of your kidney, the size of your, all the different parts that was used to construct your physical body are recorded. Your purpose is recorded. Your destiny is recorded. So, if you are sick, at this moment, touch that part of your body. I'm going to ask for the miracle of replacement of parts and the miracle of healing. There are two different things. One is a creative miracle. You see, the Holy Spirit is not just a healer. He's a creator. It was the Holy Spirit that was breathed on sand, and that sand became you, a living creature. How did God do that? Well, you know that he did it because when people die, we put them back in the soil, and they return back to chemicals, carbon, oxygen, all those other, you know, organic substances return back to the soil. Except you embalm them and do some other stuff. The human being returns back to manure. I'm talking about the body now. There's something God did to that mud, clay, that made it come alive. The person that brought that life is called the Holy Spirit. Everybody lift up your hand and say, Holy Spirit, I reverence you this morning. You are the third person of the Trinity. You are the breath of life that brought me into being. Now I present my body, my physical body, like a vehicle, like a car. I ask for a complete thorough check. I ask for complete checkup. Anything that is developing, anything that has already developed, any malfunction that is going on in my body, I ask that you will fix it now. In the name of Jesus, breathe upon me a fresh breath. Touch my physical body one more time. If you are actually sick, touch any part of your body or that part of your body where you are sick. It's going to be removed from your being. If you are not sick, maybe you have an organ that is not working. Touch that part. You're going to have an organ transplant. Trust me, I've seen so much of this that even if we are to start recording it, they will have to be in hundreds of thousands now. A lady came to our meeting and she was sitting in the front. She had gone to the doctors. Growths developed in her womb. So to save her life, they removed the whole womb. And her husband works in the secret service in this nation. And she cried the first day of the service, 3 days seminar. Second day came again, sat in the front, cried this whole while I was preaching. So finally, third day, I said, Lord, obviously this woman has committed a lot of sins. So she kept crying. Maybe I should stop, change my message to encourage her that Jesus has forgiven her and all that. And I did a little of that. And the Lord said, stop. You are using your human head to whatever. Who told you that she was crying about her sin? He said, you should walk close to where she was and declare that whatever has been removed, whatever is missing in her body, is replaced. And so I went and did that without having the details of what was going on. Anyway, she got pregnant. When she was about 3 months,
yes.
When she was about 3 months, she had a baby boy inside her womb. When she was about 3 months, with no womb. When she was about 3 months, the husband began to accuse her of going to places where they give, you know, that's when I heard that there are places some people give women things to drink and they have swollen tummy, but there's no baby. Anyway, we don't give people anything to drink and we don't give holy water or holy anything. The name of Jesus is enough. Can I hear an amen? Anyway, finally that baby was born. We finished prophetic summit early January and I was invited to come and dedicate. And when I took the baby in my hand, the person standing beside was the husband. So I said, secret service man, doubting Thomas, do you now believe? He said, yes. I said, blessed are those who believe before they see. I've seen enough of that. Because what really happened is an organ transplant. The same person who did the healing did the creating. Wouldn't it be wicked if you are the only company that manufactures parts and you don't? God and Company Limited, and he doesn't have spare parts. That would be wicked now. Wait, meanwhile, he knows that our body can break down. Put your hands wherever it is. And I'm going to pray another prayer right after this. For those, nothing might be wrong, but you just want a Holy Ghost checkup. Just in case things are developing, let him cut it off on time. You know, but let's deal with this. Father, in the name of your Holy Son, Jesus. And there are one or two of you that needs healing, even on that stage. You will get it where you are. I rebuke that sickness and disease to depart. I command the people to be healed. In the name of Jesus, I command the spirit of infirmities to go. Now, wonderful Holy Spirit, perform the miracle of healing, restoration, and a cure in the lives of everyone that needs it this morning. And now, Lord, we even go further to ask for creative miracles where certain organs have damaged beyond, they are not functioning like they should. Look into their books. You know exactly their specifications, how you designed them, how you created them, and fix it back. Brand new organs, brand new body parts. I decree it now in the name of God's Holy Son. In Jesus' name. I'm getting signals of all kinds of things going on, but my God, my God. Then everyone here who needs a Holy Spirit checkup, whether it's in their blood, in their heart, whatever it is, in their brain, whatever it is, let that supernatural power, breath that gave life to man, come upon them. Let a fresh wind of the Holy Spirit blow upon them. And erase whatever that is developing, whatever the enemy, anything that you did not plant, let it be uprooted this morning. Anything that did not come from you, sickness doesn't, we rebuke it this morning to leave. And I declare you healed. I declare you whole from the crown of your head to the soles of your feet. In Jesus' name. Do what you could not do before. If you couldn't see far, start looking at things that are distant. If you couldn't see at all, look at people around you. If you couldn't, it brought somebody that can't hear, make noise in their ear. If you couldn't move a particular part of your body, move it. That's the last stage in healing. Act. Do what you could not do before. That person that came with broken neck, not broken, but you injured your neck, you are not able to move well, move it now. You see, you are free. Just get up. That person that had pain in the joints here, move that hand. Just lift it up this way. You see that you are free. Whatever it is that you cannot do before, do it. Come close. Let me bless you for being here. Jesus, lift up your hand. All of you. Behind this man, Jesus, bless this young man, every one of them, not only with things material and healing, but with the contact with their purpose. Yes. Purpose. I'll come back to this another time. I'll come back to this. Every one of you, you notice something has happened, has changed. A healing has taken. Let me see your hand. Look at all the people. There are some that need to go to the doctor to get the answer. But there are some healings you can tell when it has stopped. Lift up your hands. Those who know, let me see. Look at all the number of hands. Look at. Oh. God bless you. You can go. Three of you in the middle. Come, I know. You are saying you blessed others. You left us. Jesus. Psalm 40 verse 6. Please come and take my Bible. I can't go further. Psalm 40 verse 6. Sacrifice and offering. That's when Jesus was coming. You know, he existed before he came. When he was coming into the world, he said, sacrifice and offering, thou did not desire. My ear has thou opened. Burnt offering and sin offering, thou did not require. Then come, next verse. For lo, I come. In the volume of the book, it is written of me. I delight to do thy will, O my God. Yeah, your law is within my heart. Everything about him was written. That was why when Herod wanted to know, when the wise men said, there is a king born in your country, and he wanted to know where the child will be born, he called the scribes, the teachers, those men that understand, and they went to the Bible and found where it was written ahead of time, 700 years before he was born, that it was from the tribe of Judah, from the little city of Bethlehem. He said it's from there that the deliverer will be born. And Micah prophesied it. Different other prophets prophesied it. But they went to the record of Micah and found it. Micah got it from the council of heaven. But the same way Jesus said, his destiny was written ahead of time, long before he was born. So when he was ready to come into the earth, he said, as I go, I know that what you are looking for is not sacrifice and offering. You want my life. A body you have prepared me. So he said, lo, I come exactly as it is written on me in the volume of the books to do your will, O God. Show them that Psalm 139 where you stop. One more time. Just one more time. Your life was also written. You know how Dominion City came about? You know, Pastor Dubus was telling you some of the things about us was I will tell them, for example. Look at this. My eyes did see my substance, yet being imperfect. In the book, all my members were written, which in continuance were fashioned, when as yet there was none of them. Give one more verse. How precious also are your thoughts towards me, O God. How great is the sum of them. Yes, verse 18. If I should count them, they are more in number than the sand. When I awake, I am still with you. The plans that God made for me, because he covered so many things. He wrote about my physical being. That's why, if you're the type that don't like yourself, you better stop. You are designed exactly for your purpose. Look at my fingers. They are not equal. And look at this thumb. Look at this small one. It's not like this one. When I was looking for a wife, I'll tell you, the kind of girls that get my attention are small packages. You know, Pastor Sarah has now added, you know, and all that. And the height you see her with is bought from the market, 6 inches under. But I don't know what it is about me. Is that small type that gets my attention. Actually, if the devil wants to send me temptation and he brings one tall, gorgeous woman, he has wasted his time. But yet, you see another man, is that very tall? So, you don't like yourself. You are designed with somebody in mind. You fit exactly your purpose. I'm not talking about the other ones you add on earth or with eating. You know, the extra one which you can lose in gym. You see some people, there are six. Up here, slim, they go down. You see some other people, there are nine. Up, they are broad. As they go down, design. Everyone say design. You see some other people, there are eight. You see some others, one. Watch British girls. Watch French girls. A lot of them. So in those days, they used to confuse us that models, all models have to be almost one to be a real model. Who told you? They are African queens and they are loaded and they are designed by God that way. Who told you that models, that is according to what the white man defined it? There are plus size models. You design clothes that fit them. Don't guys are wearing tapered things, things that will be showing up your body, because you are trying to be a one when you are a six. You are supposed to be who God made you to be. Be proud of who He has made you. And once you accept your purpose, accept your design, then your magnetism will start. That magnetism is beauty that comes from the heart. You see, when you fail to accept the way God has made you, there is a conflict inside you, rejection, and it makes you ugly. You behave in a funny way, the way you deal with people. But you forget. That Psalm 139 said, I will praise you for I am fearfully and wonderful. One of my daughter, you know, my first daughter, she was born. And she collected these my nostrils instead of her mother's own that is pointed. I said, why didn't you see your mother's nostril? No, she had no choice in the matter. They didn't consult before they decided their village. Let me also say this for Nigerians. Please, all this fight, Hausa, Igbo, Yoruba, no, nonsense. They are made from one blood. We are just designed differently because of our assignment. Don't fight your own brothers. Is somebody hearing what I'm saying? What do you call skin color? Makes people racist. It's just the carpet. How deep is paint? One car is spread black, but the car is E-Class 2017. Another E-Class 2017 spread white. Another one is spread blue. When I go to Dubai, I see a lot of white cars. Can you imagine Range Rover 2015 white? I said, these guys don't understand. The color should be black. Because you want to give me range, buy black. Dubai, white. And then I come back to Lagos, I see some people driving white. Yes, the color is designed with somebody in mind. Somebody likes green. Somebody likes yellow. Somebody likes blue. That's why when you want to marry, find your size. There are many size 45 in the market. That's what I wear. If you want to buy me a shoe, 45. Oh, they have bought me that shoe before. Very fine shoe. But it's 43. And then because the shoe is so fine, I tried to force my leg into it. And one time I forced it into 44. This shoe is so nice. They didn't check my size, but they brought it. It's so fine, Italian spec. And I wore it. I came to church. I didn't know what they sang in praise and worship that day. That's how what some people are going through in marriage. You are just looking at the beauty. You are not looking at your size. So you carry it where you put leg, the whole marriage is managed. Everyone say manage. Don't worry if you're already married. The shoemaker can help you expand your shoes. Don't worry about that. Don't start thinking about changing shoes. Marriage is not like shoe. You don't change it anyhow. Can I hear an amen? You know, you can sack your secretary. You can sack your staff. They know they sack daughter like that. You know, they sack husband like that. Too. You know, they sack son like that. I disown your meal, man. You better own the boy back, because they don't sell children in the market. In rare occasion, yes. Very rare occasion. You are created for a purpose. The message of this service is that there are angels sent, number one, to protect you and to bring you to the place that God has prepared. They are the ones we are giving assignment today, in the name of Jesus, to guide you into your destiny. These angels are angels of destiny. Lift up your hands. From this service, it doesn't matter what is going on in Nigeria, you are going to step into a new season. Supernatural forces are going to connect now to bring you into your place of destiny. There are provisions made ahead of time. Did you see that scripture? That purpose and what? Grace was given to us before the foundation of the world. All the grace, all supernatural provision, all divine connection, all those things that God planned for you before you were even born. We release the angels to go and link you up. We command this month divine connections in your life. I'm sure you know what divine connections are. Relationships that once they come into your life, they change everything for good. That man, that woman, that person, that company, whatever it is, there is a missing link. Because purposes are interconnected. Everyone say that. Just 1 minute. You remember the angel that announced the birth of Jesus also announced the birth of who? John the Baptist. What's the name of that angel? Gabriel. Do you know why he took care of those two children? Because their purposes are what? One was supposed to be the forerunner for the other. Do you know there are some people now that are supposed to be your forerunners? They are supposed to be the pathfinder, create the path for you to pass. Wherever your John the Baptist are, wherever your destiny partners are, I command your path to meet in the name of Jesus. Hey, sir. Pharaoh had a dream that will lead to building a nation. Economic dream. He didn't have the interpretation. Another young boy by the name of Joseph has the interpretation. If you have a company, but there is somebody that has the wisdom to help you move that company to the next level, I command a network between you and that young man. Wherever your Joseph is, in the name of Jesus, you are going to find him. Mary was pregnant with Jesus. Elizabeth was pregnant with John. When Mary paid Elizabeth a visit, when he greeted Elizabeth, the baby in the womb began to live for joy. And the Bible said John the Baptist was filled with the Holy Spirit in the womb. There are human beings, relationships that make your baby live for womb, live for joy. These people, their words, their advice, relationship with them will cause that dream you are carrying in your womb to be activated. Wherever your Elizabeth is, wherever your Elizabeth is, we command a connection this month in the name of Jesus. The job you have been looking for, we command it now to be in your doorsteps. The contract you have been looking for, whatever is the bridge to link you to that person, we command it to link up now. Do you know that you are four people away from any human being you want to meet? There's somebody you know that knows somebody that knows another person that knows the president. Two different presidents in this country. Certain things happened. I needed to meet. One time we needed a property in Abuja. And where, oh God, please, I need a contact with Asorok. At that time, I didn't have as much as just one person that is already in church. And we didn't know. One small girl, single girl. Sir, the P, you want to see Oga? I said, yes. He said, ah, now, madam, now, now, my. I said, what? He just carried me like this. As we are entering and sorrow, see how all the, one small girl, they were even saluting us. You know, there are levels. There's outer court in Asorok. You pass that initial security. You enter Asorok. There's another one you pass. You enter. Then you pass the last one. You are in the presidency. That's how I ended up in the presidential villa. And I was sitting in the parlor looking around and said, no wonder these guys don't want to live here. I said, is this how it is? Madam walks out after talking with me. He said, do you want to see Oga? Can I? Let's just see him, even though you don't really need it. I said, okay, madam, that would be nice. He said, he went out to stroll. They have, it's a city. Just went to have some. 20 minutes later, the man walks in. He said, oh, you are the young reverend they've been talking to me about. He took me into another inner parlor. He was talking, I was busy looking around, you know. He said, Reverend, are you hearing what I'm saying? I said, yes, sir. He said, go and have rest. That case is already settled. And that was it. That was it. That was it. But do you know, one small girl. Hey, I don't know who you need to meet this month or this year. Some job that needs to be signed. Whosoever that is needed to get that to done, we release that into your world now. In the name of Jesus, you are leaving this service to step into another level. I declare in the next 30 days, all kinds of miracles, all kinds of testimonies, all kinds of breakthroughs, all kinds of breakthroughs, all kinds of breakthroughs. In the name of Jesus. Lift your hands and give him praise. Give him thanks.